You're about to hear a story you should already know by heart. The story of a woman who refused to give up her seat on the bus to a white couple, was jailed, appealed her case all the way to the Supreme Court, and won. And it's not Rosa Parks. The young Virginia woman, Irene Morgan, challenged the Jim Crow segregation laws 11 years before Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus in Montgomery. She was just years ahead of her time. I'm Sarah McConnell, and today on With Good Reason, the Irene Morgan story.
And when you get on the bus, and when you get on the bus, get on the bus, set any place, 'cause Irene Morgan won her case, you don't have to ride Jim Crow.
Later on today's program, Wesley Hogan of Virginia State University talks about the 1960s black student group that gave us Julian Bond, John Lewis, Marion Barry, Stokely Carmichael, and H. Rapp Brown. But first, few of us have heard of Irene Morgan, but that's beginning to change. She was honored by Gloucester County during its 350th anniversary celebration in the year 2000. President Clinton awarded her the Presidential Citizens Medal. She was even a question on the television show Jeopardy. Our first guest today is Tommy Bozier. Tommy Bozier is the director of the H.B. Wilson Archives at Norfolk State University, and he has researched and written about the Irene Morgan case.
She was living in Baltimore, and but she had a tubal pregnancy. So to recover, she had come down to Gloucester to be with her mother. Now, she had two young kids, one 2 years old and one 4 years old. But after being in Gloucester for a period of time, she had some complications from her surgery, so she decided to return to Baltimore. And it was on that Sunday afternoon that the bus stopped again and picked up a white couple. And, of course, she was sitting five rows back, which was the law in Virginia. And so she was certainly in her right. The first four rows were already filled, so the bus driver asked Irene and another black lady sitting next to her to yield their seat.
Was she on the aisle or next to the window?
No, I think the other black lady was next to the window, because Irene prevented her from getting up. That lady was terrified. So especially later when the sheriff came on the bus and served a warrant, and Irene took the warrant from the sheriff and threw it out the window.
A white couple comes on board, and the bus driver says, "Could you ladies please move farther back and let them sit where you are?"
I'm quite sure he wouldn't have said ladies.
What would he have said?
A good point. Were you people, or were you colors? It probably wouldn't have been a question. It probably more of a command.
What would Irene have felt like?
Humiliated, I'm quite sure. Because she knew that she was within her rights. She was obviously a very, very intelligent lady, and she was very, very careful when visiting Virginia to very carefully choose a seat to make sure that she was within the law.
Do you think she said no, or that she just sat there?
She probably blurted out something in reference to her rights, that she was sitting five rows back.
And what did the bus driver do when she wouldn't move? Did he come back and get her?
No, at that time, the bus had crossed the Middlesex County line. So he drove to Saluda and got a warrant, and the sheriff came on board and handed the warrant to Irene.
What did she do then?
It was at that point where she snatched the warrant, and whether or not she tore it up, I'm not quite sure, but she threw it out the window.
Then what did the sheriff or the deputy do?
He put his hand on her to grab her, to pull her up. And as Irene said, that was his biggest mistake. So at that point, she kicked him in the most sensitive area three times.
Is that because she was, she had a little tendency toward explosive temper and violence?
From all that, all the descriptions I've read about her, I don't think so, really. But I think that she was the type of person who would not be pushed but so far.
It is amazing to think of anyone, let alone a black woman in that racist day and time, taking that bold an action against an officer of the law. Doesn't it seem likely that she would have been beaten or killed?
Most definitely, because there were three incidents in the South in the 40s, about at least two of them involving servicemen coming back into the country. One was in Texas. One, still in his uniform, was shot for not moving to the back of the bus fast enough. And three black women of the Army Corps were beaten by law officials in another state.
So after she kicked this man, what happened then?
She was pulled off the bus and arrested. But her mother did post bail and got her out.
So what then happened? Did she just pay her fine? You know, did she have a court hearing after that?
Yes, 2 days later, she met trial, and she was sentenced to 30 days in jail for resisting arrest and a $10 fine for being in violation of the law.
Did she have to serve the 30 days?
No, she immediately appealed that decision. She was released and allowed to return to Baltimore. Then once in Baltimore, she contacted the local officials of the NAACP. And they contact the Virginia Conference of the NAACP. So they brought in one of the most outstanding young scholarly lawyers in the Richmond area. His name was Spotswood G. Robinson.
A black man.
Yes. He'd been a friend of Thurgood Marshall and Dean William Hastie. So when she went to trial, after appealing her case, at that time, hanging in the courtroom of Saluda, was a charter for a local branch of the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan.
How could that be?
Oh, that was not surprising in Virginia or any other place in the South at that particular time.
That must have been terrifying for her.
Yes, yes, indeed. And even for a young black lawyer going into that rural area.
So then what happened?
She was convicted. And at this time, she was fined, instead of giving the jail sentence, she was fined $100 for resisting arrest and the additional $10 for being in violation of the state law.
I'm surprised she didn't have the book thrown at her for kicking him three times in the groin.
Yes, I'm just surprised. I'm just gracious and thankful that she was not physically beaten herself.
Mm-hmm. So she appealed that conviction?
Yes, that was appealed to the state Supreme Court. And, of course, they upheld the local ruling. And the NAACP appealed all the way, of course, to the Supreme Court. So it was at that point that Attorney Robinson decided that he would not argue whether or not Ms. Morgan's rights had been violated, but instead he would argue that the law was unconstitutional because it conflicted with federal law.
So Spotswood Robinson, the lawyer, said, you can't have an interstate bus system where people have to constantly move in and out of their seats depending upon whether it's an integration state or a segregation state.
Yes, because that put an unfair burden on the bus carriers, on the interstate carriers, when they have to worry about conforming to each state law. And may I add at this time that because Robinson was so very young and he didn't have enough seniority at this time to appear before the Supreme Court, so he brought in his friend Thurgood G. Marshall to argue the case before the Supreme Court.
How'd he do?
He did quite well. So he used Robinson's reasoning, and of course the Supreme Court agreed with him.
What was the consequence of that?
Well, unfortunately, I must say very little. And as a local Norfolk newspaper reported about 2 days later, blacks were still sitting in the back of the bus. Irene Morgan was such an outstanding lady who was really before her time. History was not quite ready for her. The nation's attention was focused on World War II.
How was Irene Morgan's bus experience different from Rosa Parks?
Because Rosa Parks came at the appropriate time when the nation was ready for her. A preacher by the name of Martin Luther King got involved, and the whole community, the whole black community in Montgomery, Alabama, was involved in that movement, which actually shut down the bus system, really.
Even scholars of African American history often seem to know very little about Irene Morgan. Why do you think that is?
That is very, very unfortunate. She has become more or less a footnote to history. Her case was, I should add that there was a follow-up to make something out of the case. In 1947, James Farmer had just formed the Congress of Racial Equality, and he decided to test the case, to test the implications of the case by James Farmer and about eight blacks and whites. They decided to ride through upper southern states and interstate carriers to test the case. So they were jeered and harassed throughout the upper south. But once they reached North Carolina, they were actually jailed and given about 2 months on the chain gang. Later, the Freedom Rides of 1961 is a direct outgrowth from Irene Morgan and James Farmer's attempt to test the implications of the court ruling in 1947.
And you ended up writing about her.
Yes. I wrote a history of blacks in Middlesex County from the 1650s up until about the 1990s, really. So when I got to World War II, I was talking about the changes that came about in the county during and after the war, and especially several young men from the county served proudly in the military service, and they were able to come back home and introduce new ideas. And it was at that point that I introduced this local lady who had connections in the nearby Gloucester County, and the implications of her decision not to yield her seat.
Do you ever think, could I have done what she did?
Yes, I do. I really do. I have no reason to say that I would be as proud as or brave as Irene Morgan was, really.
What ultimately became of Irene Morgan? Is she alive today?
Yes, she is alive today. I was talking to a lady who visited my office yesterday who has roots in Gloucester, nearby Gloucester County. She promised me that she would contact me the next time that Irene, Miss Morgan, visit the Gloucester area. And they say that for many years she had a successful business maintenance company in New York City. And she eventually gave that up and ran a kindergarten. At a late age, she got her bachelor's degree in social work from St. John University. And about 6 years later, she got her master's degree in urban planning from Queens College in New York.
What do you think will happen to Irene Morgan's legacy? Think it's going to grow or just sort of drift
thank
off?
Thank goodness. I think it will grow as a result of these events of the last few years.
Tommy Bozier, thank you for telling us the Irene Morgan story today and with good reason.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
And when you get on the bus, and when you get on the bus, get on the bus. Set any place, 'cause Irene Morgan won her case. You don't have to ride Jim Crow.
Tommy Bozier is the archivist for Norfolk State University and the editor of A History of African Americans in Middlesex County, Virginia.